bandwidth for the Weird Things podcast provided by Wired Tree. For sites of any size and world-class customer service, head on over to WiredTree.com.
Hello and welcome to the Weird Things podcast. I'm Andrew Main, joined by Brian Brushwood.
Hello, beautiful people.
Justin Robert Young.
Yo!
And Mr. Bryce Castillo.
Hi, everybody. That's me.
Hey, Justin, I noticed you got a hat on there.
I do. Yeah, I'm wearing a hat because I did not comb my hair, nor have I taken a shower.
So you didn't comb your hair. Do you need a haircut?
I actually do. I actually do need a haircut. Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. I hate getting haircuts. I thought about this. I had to go get a haircut. And like, because I'm like sitting there and I can't do anything. And the woman who cuts my hair, she's nice, but we don't talk about a lot. And so I just like, if I could just black out and wake up with my haircut, I'd probably do that instead.
Oh my God. I could not disagree with you more. I had a haircut this very morning, also got a beard trim. And yes, I paid the $5 extra and spent the 5 extra minutes to get a beard conditioning. And it was bliss. You know what I love the most about it? Number one, close your eyes. Keep your eyes closed the entire time. They feel no need to make chit chat. Besides, you're just going to mess it up. If you're talking while they're trimming your beard, how are they supposed to get anything done? So you go into sort of like a meditation. But here's the best part. They touch your face and they touch your scalp. And I don't know if I've shared this live. There's nothing I love more than having my touch scalped or my scalp touched. Either one.
Like, everybody remember that next time you see Brian.
Yes, no, and it's one of those few moments where it's totally appropriate. And then when they condition the beard, how often do other people in your life who aren't like in your immediate tribe reach forward and just mush your cheeks and just rub your face? You never get that. This is a socially appropriate moment where somebody can. So good. This is a stranger touching my cheek.
Brian.
Whoa. Hold on. Andrew's bare cheeks aside, let's ask this, because I'm with Andrew here, that the biggest thing that I find awkward is not like your experience, Brian. That's ideal. But being in a situation where everybody knows I'm not going to talk, you shouldn't talk, I'm just going to sit here and follow your orders until we're done with this process, I think is ideal. But what Andrew's saying, what I would go ahead and co-sign on, is that very often you get these barbers. I don't think I've ever gotten a barber that hasn't at least tried to initiate conversation. And now you're in a situation where do I be curt and therefore, you know, rhetorically try to put up the stop sign that I don't want this? Or do you talk and then risk, even to your point, Brian, the fact that they're going to screw something up?
Yeah. Well, so
here's my question.
Okay.
For Justin, then, would you consider a robot barber?
A million times out of a million.
What if I told you there was somebody testing a robotic barber in Oakland with an email address where you can email them and say, I want to try this?
Oh my God. Can I do it now? Do they have it? Can I slide into their DMs?
I sent Bryce the link to this. It was on a Hacker News. Somebody says, I'm building a robot barber.
Oh my God.
So we're looking at the video of this right now where we're showing that the robotic arm has like an iPhone it's using to make a 3D map of somebody's head. And then apparently some custom software or whatever is figuring out where it needs to trace and cut. This is not at all terrifying.
It's cleaning up the neck pretty good.
Yeah, it also looks like he's about to be executed for his participation in the robotic uprising of the late 90s.
It sounded great, and then when I clicked on the link to watch this, I'm like, I'm gonna take Emma, you know, my stylist.
Yeah.
By the way,
what happens if you move? You can't move. You can't even like, and you sway a little bit, and you're gonna get an asymmetrical cut.
In theory, I would assume that eventually it'll get good and precise enough that you can move as much as you want, and it'll be better than you at everything. But yeah. Pro tip:
if you have a pair of glasses, they don't even have to be your prescription or whatever. I happen to wear prescription lenses, and I happen to be super blind. So quick inoculating line before you, you know, become friends with it or whatever. Just say, hey, I'm going to take off my glasses. I'm super, super blind. So I'm just going to sit here with my eyes closed if that's okay. They'll say that's okay. Last words needs to be said the entire time. No awkward anything. Just them touching your scalp, touching your face, touching the back of your neck. Do you go to one of those places where they put a massage at the end? Do they do the massage at the end?
I have. The place that I currently go to. Wait, hold on. Whoa. We just watched this entire video that's up here. Bryce, can we go back to that? And the entire time, I'm like, all right, well, it's really cool. It's got this arm here, but boy, does it go slow. It really is a real deliberate process. And it was just kind of shaving his neck, and it just barely touched the actual hair. And then he's like, well, that's it. Like in this, like, oh, almost like a cartoon where he gets like two like strands of haircut. It's just like, well, that'll be $1.50, Pop.
Yeah.
Well, there's a contact info there on the Hacker News post. If you want to look into that, Justin, if you want to consider like, you know, saying, hey, cause I was thinking about, here's the hardest part about like, I built a robotic barber is like, how do I test this thing?
I mean, there's only one way, right?
You got
to do a lot of iterations, you know. You're going to start, like, you mess up a few times, and you're calling up your friends, like, hey, you guys want to come over? No, not again. Never again.
I mean, I assume you start with like, some chia pets, right? You grow four or five little pigs that, or Homo Simpsons that look like they have hair, and then you have it trim on those.
Maybe homeless people. Just sit right here. Drink this. You'll be fine.
I mean, we're actually moving into some uncomfortably real territory here in the city of Oakland. But I will say, I will submit myself to a robot haircut if the inventor is willing to allow me to do it. Then I will submit to a robot haircut. I will. My lifestyle affords me such that I, like, if I have a screwed up haircut, it'll just make everybody more excited. So it's really a win-win for me.
Now, it should be noted that this is just doing neck fuzz cuts is what the Hacker News bit says. Charging $6, open beta, and charging $6 for neck fuzz cuts in Oakland.
So what is that? First of all, I'll
do that for $6. I'll do it for $5. I'll undercut them right now because that's like zip zip.
Yeah, I will attach a blade to the Roomba and say, lay down on the ground and give me $5, whatever. Also, kudos in the chat to whoever just suggested Android Scissor Hands as the name for this thing. That's amazing.
I would get a neck fuzz cut. I mean, $6 I just kind of assume is a nominal fee, so people just aren't abusing the process.
Okay, for the record, a beard trim with an actual human, full beard trim is $6. And it takes half as long, and they touch your face. A human touches
your face. All right.
Really great.
Good God. I don't know. I mean, yes, you're not there so you can get the best neck fuzz cut. You're there so you could be a part of this robotics moment in history.
Well, I think when they mixed that with like the Flowbee, remember that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It you sucks know. As it cuts.
Yeah. That fuzz you don't know.
Did you guys know a bit of magic legend here that I think is public knowledge? Do you know who is a tremendous, you know what magician loved his Flowbee? Are you smirking because you know and it's not supposed to be public knowledge, Andrew?
I mean, I can imagine one or of the only people I know that would do that who would admit to it. Probably one of a duo.
Close, I guess, kind of a duo. They both came from the same state. The legend I heard is that one Lance Burton, award-winning magician.
Oh, yeah. I heard that, too.
He loved his Flowbee, and he definitely does have the right cup for it.
Yeah. Yeah, Lance is a super cool guy. Super cool guy. If anybody could pull off a Flowbee haircut, it would be Lance Burton.
Heck yeah,
I mean, dude. Yeah,
it did. It was science fiction. Now it's science fact.
Yeah,
I mean, he might be currently. pulling off Flobe haircut for all we know.
It's just, that was an idea ahead of its time. But you know, that's the thing. Think about this in space travel. You know, if you're going to spend 6 months on a spaceship, we're all going to have to get Flobe haircuts.
Yeah. I think I might go bald or,
wait,
you mean shaved?
You're always the one who's like, I'm here for the future. I'm here for the robots. I'm here for the AI. I can't wait until all of these decisions that I would have otherwise had to have made are taken away from me by way of this beautiful digital future. And yet here is where you draw the line. You won't let these robots cut your precious hair.
No, I'm just saying that if I was in space, I'd want to look like I belonged in THX-1138 or something. I'd want to look like Robert Duvall. I go all the way bald.
When's the last time that you were totally bald? That you like buzz cut?
Ooh, the closest I've got in my adult life was when I was doing the spikes. I got pretty tall up on shaving the sides to pretty much bald. But I think it was seventh grade that I did a full on buzz cut, everything just all the way. It was not a good look on me.
Well, that's my question. You might, in your mind, you're like, yeah, THX, but then you shave that head and you're like, oh my God, what have I done? Like what was I like? These fins were not ornamental. Like these were necessary for the flow shape.
Although now that I think about it, if I was sleeping in zero gravity so that there was never any bedhead, I think the spiky haircut would be like the most functional hairstyle I've ever had in zero G, because a little bit of beeswax, everything's all pokey. It's all that. And it's like, it never gets disturbed at night and they're just always there.
And you can store stuff there. Like, oh, Brian, hold this memo. Got it. Hold my sandwich right there.
That's right. And then I get to find gifts later on. I'm like, that's where that pen went.
What's the most functional space haircut? These are important questions we have to think about.
Hold on, let's think about it. Is there a more, maybe a dreadlocks you could tie around stuff? God, I hate to say it. You know what? I don't hate to say it. I'm going to say it loud and proud. An afro has to be, a big ass afro has to be the most functionally useful space haircut possible.
How are we defining functionally useful?
I mean, like number one,
I mean, I'm aware of what an afro is.
Right.
You're miming an afro.
Okay.
I do know what an afro looks like. I just don't know what, just the criteria.
All right. Number one, you fall asleep. You're drifting through the space station, bonk into a wall. Who's going to have a smaller headache? Guy with a big afro or not? Second of all, people who are, you got something you want to store? Does it have hooks in it? Velcro, boom, goes on the afro. Second of all, you got pens, any kind of object, just boop, 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 boop. There it all is. You got to store it when you need it. You can take a crescent wrench, and in low G, like you'll know it's there. But then whenever you need it, you just grab it. It's like a superpower.
Okay, well, everything except crescent wrench was something that, and also floating, let's table floating through the space station and bonking your head for a second. The other two are things that you can just do with an afro and regular gravity. You can't put pens in an afro.
Yeah, but you could do it with like heavier stuff is what I'm saying.
So yeah. There's the crescent wrench. But what you were positing is a world in which you are just on this space station and then periodically you're like, ah, man, big day doing space work. Time for me to hit the hay. See you later, guys. And you just kind of close your eyes and just start floating around the space station.
I mean, like, let's say
bumping headfirst into many things.
I know. I know.
It's all just it'd be like past, you know, the last call for everybody to go to sleep. It's just a bunch of yogi bears like floating, like as if they're trying to find the pie.
All right, maybe you're in the middle of like a deep realization that flashing light is actually an alien space signal or whatever. You might distractedly bonk the top of your noggin and into something out there. What do you tell me? You're less safe without an afro?
No, I'm just I'm just in love with the idea that the four of us are all hanging out on this spaceship. And much like any time that we're all in the same place, we're just hanging out and talking way into the night. Except normally it would end with somebody going, all right, guys, I got to go to sleep, walking to their room and falling into their bed. But instead, in this scenario, in our beautiful, bright future, we can just say, all right, guys, sorry, I'm going to knock it off.
Number one, you realize, given my challenging history with sleep, you just described like a dream scenario for me. The ability to at any time say, anyway, I'm out. That would be amazing.
Forget space. That's Brian's heaven.
Exactly.
So, you know, bring up some interesting points here. One is, I'd hate to be the guy that's told him, sorry, you can't go to space. You just can't grow an afro. We're sorry. It's a requirement. We can fix a heart. We can fix lungs. Can't fix that.
Show up the next day with a beautiful perm.
Yeah. Sorry, doesn't count. The other thing is just the thought of a drool guard in space or when you sleep.
You're talking about like somebody who's watching you and just punches you every time you start to drool?
Just something to keep your, like, you know, it's like, it's for some reason when you sleep in the daytime and the mouth is like, oh, and you drool on the pillow. That's going to be gross in space. So I think we're going to have to think about, like, do you have like a drool mask?
No, a little robot. The same robot that during the day trims my neck fuzz. At night, it has just a little washcloth that just like just pats it out as soon as like I'm drooling a little bit.
Dead Palmers pointed out in the chat room who would be the perfect astronaut under this situation. Bob Ross.
Yeah, dang right. He's like, there's no holes in the space station, just happy accidents.
We're dying, Bob. We're dying.
It's like, well, you can't die if you didn't live. Let's be thankful for that gift. How about that?
hey, Bob, where would people go to support this program?
Oh, well, back down on Earth. I know they used to do it at patreon.com/weirdthings. It's the way to keep the show coming out every single week. Every little happy accident, every little fantasy that you might want to have come true. In fact, sometimes they'll go on crazy side jag role-playing fantasies that suddenly get abandoned. But you can make it all possible if you go to patreon.com/weirdthings. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'm going to use just a little bit of titanium white to cover up the hole in this space station, saving all our lives.
Of course. Patreon.com/weirdthings. Yes. Thanks so much.
That which there's enthusiasm for, do not get abandoned. That is the motto. So I need one of you to fess up right now. Who did it?
Oh, look. All right. Look, Justin and I were talking about this. We knew it was going to come up sooner or later. Bryce, do you have something you want to say to everyone?
Yeah.
What I would like to say is I know who did it, and I will not be saying who did it.
I mean,
that's how no snitching I am. I'm no snitch strong.
Oh, stop snitching.
That's right.
That's Bryce's motto. Forget Tekashi 6ix9ine. Bryce would have went to jail for the full bid.
Well, when I hear Atlanta, and then I hear some strange stuff happening, I think of who are the strangest people I know who go to Atlanta.
I mean, I would like to point out that one of us has been to Atlanta much more recently than the other.
That's true. I would be the guy. I would be the guy that was in Atlanta more recently because Brian and Bryce did not come out for Dragon Con. So I guess it would be me.
Well, I mean, if the crime was not going to Atlanta, then I think it would be me and Bryce. I mean, like if it happened while you were in Atlanta, then my guess is you didn't do it to yourself. Look, the important thing is, I know what we're talking about, but just in case somebody else doesn't know, what was it happened in Atlanta?
So, you know, we can do kind of a little fun game here. We could do a yes, no.
Uh-huh.
And I think it'd be fun to be able to let the audience know ahead of time, but we do that. We could just do a yes, no. I'll answer yes or no.
Okay. Great. Did it happen in Atlanta?
Yes.
Did Justin do it?
I don't know the answer.
I thought I could jump to the end on that one.
I don't know that he didn't do it.
But
by the way, for the record, If we're just building a list of potential suspects here, there's only one person who has written a novel that revolved around a massive biochemical incident happening in downtown Atlanta.
You know what? Let's skip to the fundamentals here, Justin. Technically, was it even a crime?
Yeah.
Okay, but technically, like, was it a bad crime?
I think that's not a technical term, but
I'm gonna go deviate from the yes or no and say that it's a really a matter of personal opinion on this.
Yeah, that's what I thought. See, there's some equivocation here happening. I think I could solve this crime. Actually, I can't. I don't have nearly enough to go on.
All right, I'm gonna move it. Well, I'm gonna tell one of you what this is. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
All right. And
I do have another yes no question. Did it happen downtown?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
I'm downtown
Atlanta, the scene.
All right,
of the
look,
crime.
You know what? I'm gonna do my bold take because I know what this is. I'm sorry. Baby Driver was not a crime. It was a fine piece of work. Now, I grant to you that it had some character elements and plot things that I think they could have smoothed over, but it's far from a crime, Andrew Main. Mm-hmm. And no, I didn't do it.
The shock on Justin's face when he received.
Well, the only question that I have is that I'm now familiar with this, but I don't know if it's in the same city as we've set it up.
Yeah, I'm gonna say if it's the thing that you emailed me, you metropolitan area.
I got
wrong.
The newspaper wrong city.
Do we want to say what city it was? Because, by the way, we've all been in this city.
I know what you guys are saying. You guys mixed up Atlanta and Atlantis. This was an Atlantean crime that happened.
Sea crime.
Indecent exposure. Sorry, somebody exposed us all of his sperm just everywhere, fertilizing so many eggs.
All right, so this is in Las Vegas.
Brian. Ah, the Atlanta of
the desert.
Of the desert.
The Atlantic city of the desert.
So this is a crime that happened. This is definitely a crime that happened in Las Vegas. And Brian, I got to say, I know we're friends, but if the cops came to me right now and said, do you think Brian was in on this? I would have to say, I don't know, and then wink, and then mouth without making any sounds. Yes, he did.
I mean, is it fire related?
No.
Is it crime related?
It certainly is a crime. I'll say that it's animal related.
How big is the animal bigger than a bread box?
No.
Also, why do we only use a bread box as an indicator of size? Shouldn't that be the indicator of everything? Like, is it market cap greater than a bread box? Is the resistance in ohms greater than a bread box?
Because I think both of those are ridiculously low compared to the things that they would measure.
Yeah, that's probably why we don't do that. Smaller than a bread box. Is it a hedgehog?
Considerably more common than a hedgehog.
Is it a hamster?
Something that you probably see without thinking of every day of your life. You've probably seen one of these things around you every day of your life if you live around a city.
It's always either snakes or spiders. Spiders?
Man.
Texas.
We are not there yet. No, not a snake, not a spider. So, I mean, you would be understood that on a weird things thing that would not be that might be the case. No, these are I'm also going to say this was a crime that initially was cheered and shared as something fun. This was anarchy that you only really had to look closer to find out the sinister nature.
This is not about squirrel fishing, is it?
No.
What? Have you heard of squirrel fishing?
No, I want to.
You go to the park,
You take a casting rod, you tie a peanut to it, you cast it out, and you wait for a squirrel to come over and discover the nut. Squirrel gets his hand on the nut, and then you start reeling it in, and the squirrel doesn't want to let go. And you fish it in until it gets real, real close. And then finally, it gets annoyed and just runs away. Squirrel fishing. It's all the fun of fishing. Rage. Yeah, see, that's squirrel fishing.
Geez. Watch this squirrel hanging in the air trying to grab his nut.
Is squirrel fishing illegal?
I hope not. You wait for them damn Democrats. You give them 20 minutes, they'll be fishing for squirrel rights.
All right. Not in an election year.
I want to see that debate question.
Yeah, exactly.
God. Oh, man. So, I was about to get really upset. I'm so glad that we're okay.
No. So not squirrel fishing.
In the same ballpark, though.
Yeah. You're not far off, but this is more sinister. There is more of an actual cost to this than squirrel fishing.
I saw it.
Although I will also say, probably more irreverency.
More irreverent than squirrel fishing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's mammal related, I assume. Is it mammal related?
Not necessarily.
Ooh, avian related?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
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 Birds. Yes. I see birds every day. Now my daughter is up on that train that wants to say that birds are a government conspiracy and a lie, but I believe in birds. Wait, did somebody hunt and eat a bird of carrion? Did somebody eat a vulture?
I mean, wait, how is that more irreverent than squirrel fishing?
Well, I mean, I'm just asking questions here, bro.
No, the answer is no.
The answer is no. I mean, we don't know, I guess, is the more technically correct answer, because I'm sure it's happening somewhere, but in Vegas, that is not the international news that was created.
Is it cruel? Would it be considered cruel?
Yes, it would.
To the
also very silly and funny, but undeniably cruel to the bird.
And it's not like something like clipping one wing so it, you know, spins in a circle when it flies.
No, and you want to know what? I think we're going to cut off that line of speculation there, because I think we are not going to do ourselves any favor if the new game is Brian guesses wildly about how to torture birds in the most fun way possible. So what do you say we just go to the actual story?
All right, yeah, so show the photo, Bryce.
Do you want the photo? Because we have a clip also.
Sure.
Go to the clip.
It's the reaction to the photo.
Well, how about we show the first frame of the video?
Feeding something. Wait a minute. Is this that terrible joke of feeding Alka-Seltzer to a bird and then they burst or something?
No, keep another eye. Yeah, wait, look at that bird.
Wait, he put a hat on a bird? He put multiple hats? They're wearing little pink 10-gallon hats? Oh, that's amazing. Oh, no. You are telling me this is a crime to put a jaunty red hat on a bird?
It is when you're gluing the hats to the bird's heads.
Oh, I didn't know that part.
When you're going to do damage to the bird's heads when those hats are removed. Yes, that is animal cruelty.
Bryce, was it before your time that we talked about the amazingly trained goldfish thing in China?
Maybe. It doesn't ring a bell.
Yeah, that was a similar case of something that looked adorable. Maybe do a quick search for incredibly trained goldfish, because that had an extra layer of, in order to even accuse someone of a crime, you had to sort of break kayfabe in the magic world.
So this was in China?
Yeah, in Chinese television, somebody did a miraculous thing and showed their trained goldfish.
So what is it that they were purporting to do while I looked this up?
They seemed to have practiced to move in unison, and it was quite remarkable because they were, one minute they're all just swimming around, just a bunch of fish, and then upon the command of their leader, they would break ranks and show up in formation and move as if marching soldiers off to war. War with squids falling from the sky. Unrelated
so,
metaphor.
It's something like this. So it looks like it's actually a magic effect where fish are swimming in a particular way.
Well, yeah. So this is
the routine. Fish magically leap from a picture to an actual tank, and then all of a sudden,
they're swimming like synchronized swimmers. Yeah,
yeah. Isn't that impressive? Anything wrong with this that you could detect?
It doesn't seem like they have quite enough water, and also it doesn't seem like they would be able to be trained in this way.
Do you not believe in miracles, Bryce? We understand that you're here on special dispensation as an inspector general of animal troubles from the United States. Sure. We only have the footage to work with. Do you have a proposal?
I hate to go so rote with this idea, but is it magnets?
Ding, ding.
Oh, my God. They made the fish swallow magnets.
Put a tiny cowboy hat on that guy. He solved it.
Yeah.
No.
Break out the crazy glue because Bryce is getting a new chapeau. Indeed, it was magnets.
Oh, that's horrible.
You're like, oh, that's so... And it's like, and then you're like, oh, wait. Oh, geez. That's, you know... Basically, the secret behind every animal show you've ever seen, too, is the
cruelty.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I don't think it's quite as bad as that. I think that what they do is they mix in like iron filings or pellets with their food, and then they have enough of it in their bellies that the magnets are able to keep them on track.
Oh, man. I had heard about the pigeon hat story. I didn't realize that the hats were glued on. I guess I just assumed that they were staying on with like a string or something. That's glue. Don't glue.
Man, I'll tell you what. Whatever happened to the good old days when a chicken could beat you at tic-tac-toe? But you tell me that's fake next?
Yeah. So this was something that went viral, but I mean, undeniably the pigeons with the tiny little hats look adorable, but not a good move.
Now, wait, what if you did it with what if you use spirit gum, something that you knew is going to fall off in about a day? Does that make that okay?
Yeah.
Well, okay.
Your mileage would vary on exactly how cruel it was. I'm sure animal folks, I would be resistant to it. Obviously, I own birds, so I would immediately put my own bird in that situation. I guess if it was part of a show, if it was like, you know, a dove act or something like that, then I don't know.
This is interesting because which is the morally superior or inferior position? Let's say that it's spirit gum, it lasts about an hour, and then the hat falls off naturally. Which is more cruel, to do that to pigeons who live in the wild and take photos of them and enjoy that moment, or to do it to imprisoned pigeons who are part of an act and have people laugh at them, 2,000 people at a time, and it goes on primetime television as part of a Got Talent special? Which of those is
more
cruel?
Twitter, then like the pigeon goes on Twitter and sees he's being made fun of and he's depressed and he cancels his account, tries to block it.
I mean,
I would say, you know, all the bird performers that I've known have had, you know, they care for their animals on a level that they want to make sure that they live a happy and healthy life. So if even just selfishly, so they can continue performing, I would assume that if something was so injurious to a bird that it would jeopardize their health or something like that, they would not do it. So in my mind, the pigeons that are in the wild would be disposable to our straw man who is putting on tiny hats via spirit gum that we are assuming for this question absolutely dissolves within an hour. I would assume that those seem like more disposable targets than somebody who's like in, for all intents and purposes, a symbiotic relationship with an animal for their career.
I knew of a performer, I heard this secondhand, that they had a large cat in their show. And the problem is this was a cat that was not known for like being very ferocious. It just liked to lay there. And the solution was they electrified the bottom of the cage.
Now, right? What's funny is I heard this same story, but in a totally different context. There's a book called Carter Beats the Devil, in which Carter, the magician, is there, who is a historical figure. He happens to be attending a show, and Houdini was in disguise in the audience watching somebody else perform, and they electrified to get a roar out of a lion. They electrified the panel, and then Harry Houdini jumps on stage, pulls off his disguise, and says, "You're a real piece of work, guy." But, like, was that based on an actual event?
Well, there's more to this story. Let me continue. Is that they would do that to the lion, but the way the magic thing would work is it was an effect where a woman was changed into a lion, right? And the woman would be hidden by means of magic, and then they would need the lion to roar, and they would electrify the lion, but every time they'd electrify the lion, he would pee himself.
Oh, I thought you were going to say they electrified the girl, too.
No, but the girl was in a position underneath the lion.
I mean,
lion. So I'm saying this was the worst part to be in the magic act was to be the person that had to go into the lion box. It stunk like every time they electrified the lion.
Oh,
so it was like double cruelty.
I don't know. It seems like they could also electrify her too, and then that way, like, we definitely feel like it's fair trade.
But Brian, that would be triple cruelty.
No, I mean, I can
double cruelty.
Offline, I'll tell you when this was and who did this.
Okay, but
yeah, legit. I mean, it was like, I heard this, it was a horrific story, but it was one of these things that act changed the way they did things. But that was like, that's cruel. I mean, that's like kind of like, and that's sort of the limit. It's like, yeah, some people have a lot of respect for animals, but then you get some people in the animal shows and holy cow, you know. I don't know what I felt more sorry for, the lion or the girl.
The lady or the tiger.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, yep. Tiny hats for all of them.
All right, let's do picks.
I got a pick. Look, man, you guys know I'm on the cutting edge. I know what the kids are watching, and my kids are watching Parks and Recreation, which I'm watching with them, and we're midway near the end of the second season. It's so much fun as somebody who so enjoyed The Good Place, hopes to continue enjoying it. To see the DNA of the comedy chops of Michael Schur as executive producer, to see all of these characters that are such a joy. You know, you watch the Office and a bunch of other shows. There's a lot of, you know, I like this one character, that other character. Very rarely do you get a show where you like every single damn character for different reasons. It's a lot of fun. I'm really digging it.
How far are you guys watching the show?
Just about done with season 2.
Okay, and that's like really when it starts.
Yeah, it starts to sing in season 2. In fact, yeah. I might even say if you are worried about really giving it a try, just skip season 1 because it's only 6 episodes in season 1.
Season 1 is only 6?
Yeah, it was very, very short. I might be wrong on the exact number, but I was surprised. I was like, when do we get to season 2? Because I was told that's when it gets good, and this is already good, and then we're already 3 episodes in.
Huh, okay, yeah. Parks and Rec is great.
I really like Parks and Rec, and yeah, it was that you could tell how quickly, because, you know, it's the same people who did, you know, The Office and whatnot, what they learned from there, and that the changes they made from season 1 to season 2, dialing in what really worked, and bringing in, you know, like, this character doesn't work, so we'll write this person off the show, we'll make this character a permanent part of the show, and all of that, making Leslie's changing her character, Leslie Knope, she went from being dumb to being smart but very idealistic. I thought that change was better. She was sort of started off as like a female Michael Scott.
The part that has impressed me the most so far, because it's a hard thing to do, is they make no bones about having hot takes on feminism issues, but they were able to not overplay their hand and instead just give genuine situations where all that needs to be said is the just let the situation exist and have it be awkward and feel awkward without being heavy-handed. It's a hard thing to play something for laughs and also nail that subtlety. I really have enjoyed it.
Yeah, and you know the great thing too is you had a wonderful relationship between her and her boss, where she's the idealistic sort of Democrat state employee, and he's this rugged individualistic libertarian. And they have a huge amount of respect for each other, and they have different points of view, and they agree that we have different points of view about stuff, and maybe sometimes you're right, sometimes maybe I'm right, whatever. And that's, you know, you'll see the evolution of that show, and it's really this – it was from a different age, a different era. But, yeah, I really, really, really dug that. That was fun to – and then when it ended, it was like – because, again, I watched it all on Netflix, like I guess you guys are doing now, and then we're like, well, what do we watch now?
You know what is that's fun is using – using that as an anchor to introduce my children to a bunch of other different works, like because we're watching it as a family, and maybe Bonnie has to go tuck a kid into bed, so I'll take that moment to jump over to Flight of the Conchords and show the first time I ever saw Aziz Ansari in the racist episode with Brett and Jermaine, and it's what an amazing cast of characters, and it's fun to trace out that web network of where everybody has came from and where they went to afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Hey, I got a pick. It's the graphic novel for the Alan Moore, Dave Gibbons comic Watchmen. Man, what a great beginning, middle, and end. What a fantastic story. What iconic characters. The thing I like the most about the graphic novel for the Alan Moore, Dave Gibbons story, The Watchmen, is how there's a clear protagonist. And we move through the story unfolding, but there's no total red herrings, or by the end, everything isn't totally misconstrued from the way that we first walked in on it. Man, a masterpiece of dialogue and storytelling, Watchmen. The only time that it was ever told in drawn comic form available for you at any time.
Bryce?
There we go. Okay. I've got a pick. So I wanted some apps. I'm looking for some new apps on my phone, and I saw a recommendation for this one. It's a to-do app called Streaks, and it's nice because it's all about like daily tasks. If you say, hey, I want to walk certain X amount of steps every day, it has the Apple Health integration, so you know your phone being a pedometer, it automatically will keep track of that stuff. If you want to say, hey, I need to water my plants every day, then you have a thing for that. It'll do negative tasks, so you will build a streak on that task so long as you don't do it. So like the example that they have there is like smoke. You would undo it on a day that you smoke. I think it's really well made. It is a paid app. It's like $4 or $5. But what you get in it is a lot of really cool stuff. You can have timer-based apps, so basically like Pomodoro apps. So I've got one that's like, hey, on the day that I do editing, do X amount of 25-minute segments, and I can just hit the button, and it acts like a makeshift Pomodoro technique. And it has like a lot of integration, so a bunch of Apple Health integration steps, workout time, calories, specific types of workouts. It has I have another app for hydration, so it has one. It'll keep track of how many ounces or cups of water I drink in a day. So I think it's really cool. You know, I think a lot of that stuff I could do if I wanted with a free app or like the built-in reminders app. But having this be drilled in and kind of having it be a paid thing where it is a little more feature full is really nice. So I have a lot of good things to say about Streaks. Streaks is what it's called.
That's cool. I'm looking at it right now and well designed. And I like the idea of things that you know, single focus, you know, of an app that's specifically for the, that kind of, you know, doing, you know, reinforcing those behaviors. And I love the fact that it is a flat buy it price. You know, so many times you see things like, oh, this looks cool. And it's like, oh, yeah, click here and we're automatically going to enroll you in a $5 a week, you know, whatever. And you're like, holy crap. Like, that's become so predatory. So kudos to them for a flat.
Knowing that there's a flat and that they're still updating it. I mean, I think that it's it got some new features within the past couple of months. So to know that they're keeping on top of making this be good, I think also makes it feel good. So I'm not paying $3 a month for a tasks app, you know?
Yeah. So I went back and I revisited a movie that, you know, when it first came out, the critics did not like it. And I remember seeing it in a theater and going, hey, I think I kind of dug this. And then over the years, I've just really begun to love it. And that's Starship Troopers.
Oh, so good. So good. So good. And it's so weird because the only people who do not like it are people who miss the joke. And it's like, and unfortunately, by the time they don't like it, it's too late to explain to them the joke that they're doing. And it was weird to read some of the reviews at the time where somebody felt they were smarter than Paul Verhoeven and said like, well, I mean, it's almost like Paul Verhoeven's trying to make a satirical social commentary in which the humans are the bad guys and this is fascism, but as we all know, this is just a movie about dumb bugs.
Yeah, in the, you know, the screenwriter for Ed Neumeier, I'm going to pull up his bio because he's a guy that, you know, wrote most of the stuff that you think of your iconic Paul Verhoeven stuff like RoboCop, et cetera, and his very, very good biting sort of stuff. I mean, he did RoboCop. He also wrote some of the other versions they've done of Starship Troopers. They did Starship Troopers 2, like the direct-to-video thing is like not good, but 3 for direct-to-video was actually pretty fun.
I'll also give a plug. That writer shows up on Harmontown, I want to say like 3 or 4 months ago, and it's just a fascinating 2 hours because nobody on the planet loves the work of this guy more than Dan Harmon and Rob Schraub, and just to have the two of them just have unfettered access to all the geek questions, it was just a blast. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Let me ask you guys this question. So Paul Verhoeven, 87, he does RoboCop. 90, he does Total Recall. 92, he does Basic Instinct. 95, it's Showgirls. And I don't know if, like, that was still at a point where Hollywood was very much dominated by 2 or 3 media outlets. We're easily 10 years before social media functionally kind of mattering in terms of reputation. But I kind of feel like post that, Starship Troopers and Black Book. If you've never seen Black Book, it came out in 06, but it's really smart and good. It's a Holocaust movie, but it's awesome. I kind of feel like he has, in our modern sensibilities, like is just kind of a slept on director, which I don't think would have been thought of when you have, you know, RoboCop, Total Recall, and Basic Instinct as a streak of films that you directed.
Yeah.
It's always kind of wondering what's going on behind the scenes too. But yeah, he certainly had a great sensibility, you know. So, like I said, Starship Troopers, just a fun movie. You know, like you get the joke, it's really fun. And you know, I was looking at it and like that was for, you know, when they first started using CGI, and it still, you know, looks like CGI, but it was really one of those movies. It's like would not have been possible to have done that in that way any time before then, where you have thousands of bugs attacking, et cetera. And, you know, kind of sort of was, you know, a gateway to all of a sudden, you know, a bunch of, you know, overly done CGI movies, but just a fun sort of take on things. So that's my pick. And I guess I need to say it's been weird.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.